This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Wednesday, February 1st. 2017, a 12-game slate on tap for Wednesday, which is pretty crazy. A lot of games, lots to get to. The judge talks a lot anyway, so a 12-game slate. I'm going to do my best to get this show a little, you know, try to keep it to an hour or so. Let's hope we can do that. I will do my best. Before we start the show, please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Also, when I tweet out the link to the show, please retweet it for me. I'd be much appreciative. Also, please download Draft. And when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. Remember, if you cannot find out where to put the promo code, just let me know. You can contact me via Twitter at DanielAGreen1 or go to the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. By the way, I don't even know if I introduced myself. You guys know who I am. I would hope so. If you're listening to the podcast, I would hope you know who I am. I'm the judge. I am Daniel Green. Welcome. Can we talk about February, man? That month went super fast. So on yesterday's podcast, I mentioned I have a very exciting announcement to make. I'm still going to hold off really on going into the details of that announcement, but I am joining the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, which is led by Chris Axman. So when I tweet out the show, you can – I think I tweeted out the actual link because now you can listen to the show via the website, Almighty Baller website. So give it a look. Give it a meander if you have some time tomorrow or when you listen to the podcast. I'll go into some detail in the coming days. But today we have a 12-game slate, tons to get to. Plus, I'm still working behind the scenes for these feeds to get switched over. Super nervous, hoping everything goes smoothly. I think it went smooth yesterday. You guys could all listen to the show. Didn't hear anyone having problems. If you guys do have issues downloading the podcast, let me know. Do not abandon the judge. It is out of my hands at this point. But again, I do have a sneaky way to listen if for some reason writers get kind of mismanaged, whatever, with, you know, with changing whatever the feeds are. I don't even know what this IT talk is. IT talk, dream killer. So hopefully that will go smoothly and I can talk more about joining the Almighty Baller Podcast Network on a future show this week. Also, if you'd like a premium service with the judge, maybe a 30-minute or an hour-long consultation. I did one on Tuesday. I think it went pretty well. And it's just, again, if you have issues with roster construction, what contests enter, my favorite research techniques, what sites I use, tracking, analyzing data, using analytics, strategy, cash game, single entry, GPPs, all that good stuff. We tackle it all. If you want one of those, let me know. We'll try to schedule it. Again, not sure how long I will do those going forward. I'm very excited that now on the app Draft, we do have a new Judges Chambers 7-day bracket to the death on there. It's currently 128 spots. By the time of taping this podcast, and I got a late start, so it's already almost 3:50 a.m., it was about half full. So last time it filled up, I think, by about noon on the day the tournament started. So the contest is going to start on Wednesday, and I think the snake drafts start at about around 6:30 p.m. Eastern. So you do have some time to enter, get in there. Tons of fun. Again, it's 7 days, man, if you keep advancing. It's just head-to-head each day, a snake draft, you mano-a-mano, one-on-one with advance. And if you do join, let me know. And let me know what your username is on Draft. I will be monitoring that very closely. Again, it's just a lot of fun. A nice change of pace from the grind of DFS. It's just a very nice. Sometimes it's relaxing to do a nice little snake draft while I'm trying to debate who I'm going to play that night in DFS. All right, Chambers. What is Chambers? Every day I get the question from at least one person. What is Chambers? Can I get in Chambers? And the answer is, second part of the question is, of course you can get in Chambers. Again, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, it's time that you entered. We've had over 500-600 people play. We've had over around 180 people cash, and that's in the FanDuel Chambers alone. Now we have DraftKings Chambers as well. It's basically just a compilation of some of the best players in DFS competing head-to-head. And it's also, if you're somewhat new, it's a good way to go in there and look at the lineups of what the people who win have every night. You can use it as a learning experience, quite honestly. You can look at my lineup every night, and then if you have any questions, let me know. Why'd you play X? Why'd you play Y? Because every time I play someone, there's a reason. It may not work out because it's DFS and crazy things happen. But every time I make a play, I make a pick, there's a legitimate reason for it. So we had three chambers running on FanDuel, as always, and then we had one with 50 spots running on DraftKings, as always. So congrats to number seventh ranked in the power rankings, Berserko. I think he goes by Charismatic Enigma on FanDuel. His fifth win of the year, his 10th cash. Climbing those power rankings, man. The top four is pretty tight, but five through like 15 is also pretty tight. So congrats to him. Too Tall Jamal got his second win of the year in FanDuel Chambers, his sixth cash. He's also a pretty good player on DraftKings. And then Bay Ridge Bookie, who was a really good play the last couple of years when I had Chambers, but Chambers was nowhere near as big as it is now. I think Bay Ridge Bookie was more of a DraftKings player, but he got his first win on FanDuel and his third cash of the year. So congrats to you guys. You held off the judge. I thought I was going to take them all down. I was in a good spot. I think I finished second or third in most of them. And we can go into when we talk about Dream Killers, Dream Lovers, I'll talk a little bit more about my night, what happened to me. But it was a good night overall. I was able to make some good money, so hopefully you were too. And it was also a fun slate to play. All the games were pretty fun and exciting. So hopefully you were able to enjoy it. Because it sucks when it's a good slate and then you lose money. Then you can't really enjoy it. DraftKings Chambers, congrats to Dad2Gax. I don't know what that username means. Are you – so you're Dad2 what's a GAC? Fill me in. Dad2Gax. First of all, Dad2Gax. Remember, if you play Chambers, tweet me what your handle is on DraftKings or on FanDuel. If I don't know, can't give you a proper shout-out. So I'm just, basically saying what your name is on the site. So Dad2Gax, one, what's your Twitter handle? And two, what's the username? I like to know. The judge is very curious. I'm a curious man. Also, EDoom06 took second place, and the underscore Maharishi took third in DraftKings. So there were pretty big scores all around because we had some cheap guys go off for big nights. So big scores. Dream Killers, Dream Lovers, lots of those as always. Let's talk Dream Killers first, shall we? And then we can talk a little bit about slates in general. So about, I think it was maybe 14 minutes before lineup lock. Maybe it was like 16 minutes. I don't remember exactly when. It definitely was 20 minutes or less. We learned the news that Porzingis was going to be out. And to me, that shook, and I was playing tournaments only on this slate. But I think if you were a cash game player, probably it would have shaken up the slate too. To me, that changed the entire slate. It was a small slate, five games to begin with. Porzingis, I had a ton of exposure because he's dirt cheap, and you guys know me. I know I like to get on a player a day before. I'd rather be a day early than a day late. Jumping on a guy. So, and he's due to have a monster day, and he's just too cheap right now. So when he went out, obviously it changes everything for the Knicks. We heard that Hernan Gomez was going to start. Melo gets a monster usage bump. Brandon Jennings all of a sudden gets a big jump. His price has come up, so he wasn't a great play heading into the slate with Porzingis. He still was a good play, but it made him a great play. So it changes everything. So you basically had about, 15 minutes or so. And if you're playing on different sites, if you have about 15, 20 lineups, it can be a pretty stressful time. And first of all, the first thing you have to understand or know about yourself is how do you deal when that late news comes? Now, you can cancel your entries in the contest within 15 minutes. So let's say that happened at, you had 18 minutes or so left, which I think it was a little bit outside the 15-minute window now that I think about it. If you know that you have too many lineups, you just can't handle it, feel free to cancel some of your entries. You can do that. There's nothing wrong with doing that. If something happens really late in the slate and you're not going to be prepared. Also, maybe you're with your kids in the car. Maybe you're with your wife and she's yelling at you. Maybe you have other things going on as well. So if you have to cancel entries because of something news like that, feel free to do it. Me, I love when that stuff happens because I think that's when the most skilled players can take advantage of it. And typically one of my best nights are when we have late news like that and when other value on the board opens up. So hopefully also the more you play DFS, the better you will get at pivoting off of players when late news comes, adjusting. But you do have to kind of – it is a skill and you do have – you know, but do not hesitate. If you're not comfortable playing a slate because something like that changes your entire the entire slate and all of your lineups, you can cancel entries. It's not a horrible thing to do if you know you're not going to be prepared. But it takes time to get truly comfortable with making those late changes and making those decisions, you know, in a lot of lineups. But it's tough. I mean, it was not easy tonight, even for me, who's been doing this for 3.5-4 years now, because when you have 15, 20 lineups, different sites, I mean, sometimes you got to make choices. And I mean, basically the one thing that I do is I prioritize. So obviously I'm going to spend the most time on the higher entry tournaments, right? So there are certain nights, and even today, like I don't think I was able to make it back on the DraftKings site. So people, you know, and that's happened to me a lot lately. Also because I'm answering a lot of questions from you guys, doing other stuff. So a lot of times on DraftKings, you know, in the $2 Chambers tournament that we have going there, if I'm not playing anything else on DraftKings, that's fine. That's going to be the last thing that I change. Like if I have a $100 entry fee tournament on FanDuel, a $50 entry fee tournament, if I'm playing the Monster, which is $300, obviously I'm going to prioritize those. And that's what you guys should do as well. Prioritize obviously where you have the most money at stake. That just makes the most sense. And sometimes if you have to, you know, if there's one $2 lineup that you have to just, you know, basically throw away, that happens. That's going to happen. That's DFS. That's just part of the deal from playing. So depending on if you like making all those changes, you know, and it turned upside down, Porzingis either a dream killer or a dream lover. For me, he was a dream lover. For others, he may have been a dream killer. Luke Walton, how about him for a dream killer? First of all, I don't even know if you guys have the podcast anymore. I've been thinking about it. I'm just an attorney. I'm not smart enough to do it. I mean, Luke Walton, Rick Carlisle, Mike Malone, Doc Rivers, Terry Stotts, Jason Kidd. I mean, they're too smart. They're smarter than me. These guys, I mean, honestly, they're my molecular, biological, chemical engineers. They're working for NASA. They're just too smart. So, I mean, I got to reconsider if I should even be doing this anymore. Luke Walton decided to start Tarik Black again and not Zubac when Fat Waffles Randall was out. So, yeah, that's just super frustrating and super annoying because if you've been watching any of these games, the Lakers game, Zubac is clearly a better player than Tarik Black. Tarik Black may be the worst player on the Lakers roster. He should get 0 minutes. How about that, Luke Walton? And Zubac, when he got in there, but he only played like 21, 22 minutes. I think he shot like 8 for 9 from the floor. He ended up giving us like 24 FanDuel points, which at his price was good and probably would have made people a lot of money. But the problem was Hernan Gomez had a better night. So, Luke Walton, the dream killer, because another coach who just won't play his best players. And there's not a reason that, I mean, sometimes there is a reason why, you know, what a coach is doing. But to me, to play Tarik Black over Zubac, 0 cents. So dream killer, Luke Walton. James Harden. Yeah, if you played Harden on this slate, that did not go well. You know, as you probably saw me tweet out, or I don't know if you maybe didn't, maybe you did. I tweeted out around maybe 5, 6 p.m. Eastern. Sacramento was playing 5 games in 7 nights. So the more I thought about that game, and then especially once the Porzingis news hit and we had more value open up, I ended up fading Harden. I think I played Harden maybe in one lineup, and I think I played Cousins in one lineup. For the most part, I faded that game because I just didn't see how Sacramento was going to keep that close. And they didn't, and Harden ended up with like under 30 fan. I think he had 27 FanDuel points. So obviously at his salary, I mean, you had guys basically at 3K on DraftKings, 3.5K, the minimum on FanDuel outscoring him. So yeah, you played him, Soul Crusher, Dream Killer, and Cousins too. I think Cousins ended up with like 30 FanDuel points as well. And that's another thing. So if I'm recommending guys to play on the podcast, you have to remember, so I tape this, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning the night before, and as you guys are well aware, a lot changes place during the course of the next day and by the time lineup lock hits. So if I'm recommending a play, like yesterday when I taped the show, I was gung-ho on going on having Cousins in my cash games. So feel free to ask me, you know, if I still feel the same way, you know, 5, 6 p.m. Eastern on the day, you know, I guess for tomorrow it'd be on Wednesday, because things change. Sometimes, I mean, for the most part, guys that I recommend, I'm still a fan of, but there's certain days like it happened on Tuesday where this entire slate will change. And then I have to, you know, kind of start from scratch with 15 minutes to go. Carmelo. So with the Porzingis news, Melo became on paper a really good play. His usage rate was going to go through the roof, and it still did. The problem was now the Knicks were playing a Washington team. The Wizards have the second best record in the NBA in January, next to the Golden State Warriors. They've been on fire, and the Knicks have been dreadful. So now the Knicks are without Rose and without Porzingis. So the big question was, could the Knicks keep that game close? You know, I wasn't confident, and I didn't play a ton of Melo. I think I had him in a few lineups, and he did okay. He came back in the fourth quarter, which I was surprised at because the Knicks were somewhat getting blown out, and the Knicks have a back-to-back, and they play on Thursday. So he ended up with like over 30 Fando points, and I was still able to cash with him in my lineups. But if that game would have stayed close, he should have put up a monster line without Porzingis and without Derrick Rose. Terrence Ross, without DeMar DeRozan, he should have had a big night. He sees like the biggest usage bump out of any Toronto player when DeMar is out. I watched that entire game that Toronto. They played the Pelicans. So I watched that entire game, and Terrence Ross got wide open looks. I'm talking wide open. It was just a night, and this is the problem with the one trick pony, and why Terrence Ross can never be a cash game play. He just missed shots. He was wide open. And the same with like Patrick Patterson missed some wide open shots too. He could have had a pretty big night. He ended up with like around 18 Fando points, and his price was basically the minimum. It turned out to be okay, but Toronto just couldn't make shots. And even Kyle Lowry for the first three quarters, he couldn't make shots either. And speaking of not making shots, we'll get to Anthony. Well, actually, Anthony Davis. No, I don't have him listed as a dream killer or a dream lover because he ended up with 50 Fando points. That game went to overtime and salvaged a lot of our lineups. He wasn't a tin man. He was great. He was playing hard, but he couldn't make anything. I think at one point he was 2 for 15 or 3 for 15 from the field. If he just could have made a couple more shots, he would have had 60, 70 Fando points. So both teams just really struggled to make shots. I mean, up until like late in the fourth quarter. If you played. Well, my soul crusher was Gallinari for the Nuggets. So if you played, he was a good play. I mean, I don't really regret the play in any way. He got lots of minutes. The opportunity was there. It was a fast paced game. Wilson Chandler just basically came in and basically said, "It's going to be my show tonight at small forward or power forward, whatever position you want to call it." And Gallo, there was large stretches where he was irrelevant. He was on the court, but you wouldn't know it. And what was truly disappointing is he got me like 17 actual points, but he did nothing else. Like his peripherals were disgusting. So normally he's a big guy. He's like 6'8", a pretty big body. He's slow as molasses, not athletic, but normally he can have games of 8, 9, 10 rebounds pretty easily, especially when there. So he had like 3 rebounds, and that was a killer for me. So when Chandler went off, I mean, going into that last game of the night, I knew I was going to cash. It was a matter of could I take down a GPP in a lot of my single entry tournaments, and even some of the GPPs. I knew I was had a shot to have a big night, but I had Gallo and Gary Harris left in basically every lineup. They were core players for me. Gary Harris did great. He hit 6 times value. He was a dream lover for sure. But Gallo was not. And at 7K, having only 23 Fando points against the Lakers, that wasn't going to cut it, especially when Wilson Chandler had 50 Fando points, which was more than double of Gallo. And Wilson Chandler was 1.2 or 1.3K cheaper. And that was my one fear heading into that game. The two guys I was worried about was Lou Williams and Wilson Chandler. And Lou Williams, of course, put up 40 Fando points, and Wilson Chandler put up 50. So, and Kenneth Freed had a good game too. So I wasn't able to take, you know, I wasn't able to make thousands. I've, you know, been able to make a few hundred again. So I early in the night, I thought I could make thousands, and I've shown Ed Harris, I've shown the bailiff some pictures on eBay of like some, you can buy your dogs like cars to drive around in. I was like, yeah, pick out a car, my man. We're going to be rolling. We're going to be living large tomorrow. end of the night, I was like, yeah, go, you just need to pick like a, just like a dog bed. you can't get a car. So, but still a good night. Can't complain too much, but Gallo, dream killer, soul crusher for me. Frank Kaminsky, if you tried to play him, probably didn't go too well. Evan Turner, disappointing. I thought he'd have a better night. He ended up like, I think he was in like the teens and the low teens in FanDuel points. Courtney Lee, if you tried to play him, I didn't mind the play, especially when Porzingis went out. He's been good. The problem was for me, Powell became a lock when DeMar was ruled out, and then I just loved Gary Harris at his price and his matchup. But I did think about Courtney Lee for a minute, but I just decided to go really all in on Gary Harris. So, but if you did pivot off of Courtney Lee, it did make some sense in tournaments. It just didn't pay off. Also, when Porzingis was ruled out, if you tried to play the Kuz, I know Hernan Gomez got the start. Some of you thought their other foreign guy, Kuzminski, I think that's his name or something like that. I'll just call him the Kuz, was going to get some extended minutes. Didn't work out too well if you played him, but I did think that was worth the risk in tournaments. And then Nance Jr., because why would Luke Walton give him minutes? He's got to give them all to Tariq Black. So Larry Nance Jr., dream killer for sure. Dream lovers, Kyle Lowry, he got us there. It was a struggle. I mean, when DeMar went out, first thing I did was put him and Powell in basically every lineup I had. And he was not cheap, but he was 8.7K. But his usage is – he's that entire team. I mean, he's great when DeMar is there anyway. So, and I like the matchup. You can attack Pelicans guards. He just couldn't make a shot in the first three quarters. I think he was around 30 FanDuel points heading into the fourth. Then luckily the game went to OT. He ended up close to 50. So he was a dream lover. Same game, Paul. He's been tremendous when DeMar's been out. So he was a lock and load for me. Hopefully you did a lock and load with him as well. Kawhi Leonard. I was nervous about using Kawhi. I used a lot of Kawhi over Melo. I thought Kawhi was a little bit too expensive, quite honestly. But he came through. He got me over 50 FanDuel points. So he was great. He was a dream lover. And more importantly, he was able to outscore Carmelo by 20, because that was my biggest fear of playing Kawhi over Melo. Melo was $1,000 cheaper, and if Melo had a bigger night than Kawhi, I would have been in some trouble. Brandon Jennings, he was dream lover. He was tremendous. He was great. The blowout concerned me a little bit with him, but I thought still, even if he only played three quarters, he should be able to hit value at his price. So he was excellent. Wilson Chandler, for me, he was a soul crusher, but if you played him, it was a dream lover, and it was a tough spot. I mean, for me, one thing, and this is another thing that, you know, I'm sure all of us run into every day, it's how much salary are you willing to leave on the table? So I had a lot of lineups. For a long stretch, Gallinari and Chandler were basically the exact same price. It's just Chandler's been a little banged up. He's had some bad games. The minutes have been down. So his price has come down to about 5.8K. And so I had a lot of lineups around the 7K available. I wanted to play some Chandler, but I was like, I have 1.2K left over. And there was really no one else I wanted to pivot to. I liked the rest of my lineup. So that's why in a lot of lineups, I stayed with Gallo. Now, in retrospect, should I have probably played one lineup, leaving 1.2K on the board? I should have. And that's kind of my mistake. Everyone has a different approach on what to do with leaving, how much salary to leave on the table. It's kind of an individual choice on small slates, which I take as like five games or under, which was on Tuesday. It was a small slate. There's typically, I will typically kind of, I have a max of leaving about 1500 on the table. So this was kind of right at the cusp of what I like to do. Now, I don't do that often, but if there's a lot of value, a lot of guys that I really like playing, a lot of guys who have some upside, and take it out. And I also don't do this in cash games. This is for tournaments only. In cash games, I'm not a fan of leaving money on the table. But in tournaments, I will do it. And also, it's an easy way to differentiate lineups, right? Because not many people want to leave that much money on the table. But if you look at every night, you can look at like optimal sites that basically will show you what the winning, if you played the quote unquote optimal lineup, which was the highest scoring guy at each position, what the total, what that salary would have come out to every night, it's much lower than what the total, I think it's like the 60. I think what's the salary cap on FanDuel was like 60,000, or on DraftKings it's the. So I mean, every day usually the optimal lineups are, you do have money on the table, 1,000, 2,000, up to 3,000. So if you really do love a guy and it's a small slate, you can feel free to leave, you know, around 1.5K on the table. I mean, in tournaments, I wouldn't do it in cash games. But again, it's a way to differentiate lineups. And a night like this, where there wasn't Wilson Chandler sitting there, he did have high upside. And, you know, you've seen all year long, him and Gallo have been the same price. So would it make sense if you had one lineup with Wilson Chandler instead of Gallo? Yeah. And should I have done that? I should have. And that's my mistake. Ryan Anderson, Dream Lover, he's always a good play for tournaments, especially at his current price, which is like 5K. It's probably now going to go up. Once it hits like the 6K range, then I don't think you have to do it. Then the upside's not as great. Even though Houston got blown out, he still was able to crush value because he's just so cheap right now. I think one of the Roto Grinders guys was saying how Anderson was a dreadful play on this slate. And then I think one of my Twitter followers got in like a little beef with him because he called him out on it. And then the Roto Grinders guy's response was, yeah, I made six live finals. And my response to that would be, that means nothing, dude. Yeah, you made six live finals. Congrats. Like, that means you're good at computers. That means you're good at scripts. That means you're good at using max entries to get to a live final. And doesn't mean you're good at giving advice to helping the regular player who's not playing, you know, 150 lineups in every tournament. So, you know, why that guy said Ryan Anderson's a horrible play, not really sure. Ryan Anderson's always a good tournament play if he's going to be around 5K, Dream Lover. Hernan Gomez, he was tremendous. He's really good. You know, I was a little surprised he got the start. Because I thought the Kuz might get the start, but when I saw him starting, I used a lot of Hernan Gomez. I used a lot of Zubac. I knew Zubac was going to be a popular play. So in tournaments, I tended to go more Hernan Gomez because also, I hope with the late news, I thought his ownership was going to be lower, which it was about 20% lower, which worked out for me. And he's also just super talented. If you watch Knicks games, you watched him play, he can fill up the stat sheet pretty quick. So when he got the start, I kind of pounced on that one. And it worked out. He had like 15 points, 14 rebounds, or 35 Fando points. Zubac was great. The problem was Hernan Gomez was basically the same price and had a better game. And Luke Walton only played Zubac like 22, 23 minutes. But Zubac, he is super talented. And as long as he's going to be in that 4K price range going forward, he'll be a decent cash game play. The upside is going to be limited unless Luke Walton gives him big minutes. So we'll see if that ever happens. Markieff Morris. I mean, I didn't play much of him, and I was wrong. I mean, he came through again. He's been so good, that entire Wizards team. I mean, even in a blowout where they basically blew the Knicks out, he came through with almost 40 Fanduel points. And, you know, I just keep fading him because I keep thinking he's too expensive, and he keeps proving me wrong. So if you played him, you know, congrats. I did not. Sabonis, I'm pretty sure I tweeted something out around – I don't know. I mean, at halftime of that game, when Sabonis had like 8 Fando points, I'm like, one day he's going to help someone win a GPP. I'm just not sure, you know, what year that's going to be. But because he was getting tons of minutes with cancer out, he got pretty good minutes in the first half. In the second half, he played really well. He ended up with 25 Fando points and again, at his price, which was like, I think he was 3.9K, or maybe he might have actually been the minimum at 3.5K. So he ended up being a big he was in some of my best lineups of the night. I had some Patrick Patterson only put up 18, and Sabonis put up 25. So Sabonis, at his price, he came through for me. Kenneth Fareed, Dream Lover. On DraftKings, he was about over $1,000 cheaper. So I played him in DraftKings. I didn't play a ton of him in FanDuel. I thought he was a little pricey. But against the Lakers, he still came through. And I guess the hamstring or whatever injury he was dealing with wasn't the big issue. And then Nick Young had a good game. Go figure. God, that guy stinks. It's so annoying when he has a good game. But he had like 30 over 30 Fando points. All right, injury news for Wednesday. Remember, 12 games. Dear God. Kevin Love, back spasm. So LeBron and Kyrie. Kyrie let us down on Monday, I think, but elite play without Kevin Love. Sees a monster usage bump. Do not hesitate to play Kyrie on Wednesday. CJ Miles. If you're just stressed right now at work, I'm already stressed because it's super late in the morning. Large slate. I have a ton to do. Maybe I'll just Google CJ Miles to relax. So you guys can do that. but CJ Miles, the actual NBA player, he is questionable with a sore left knee. Ronnie Stuckey, also from that same game, is questionable. Maybe Glenn Robinson, maybe, for Indiana. But remember, on a 12-game slate, you don't have to force anything, especially in cash games. There's value everywhere. There's good plays at every position. So if you don't really have to overthink plays, quite honestly. In tournaments, you still can do it a little bit. But even in tournaments, there's really not a quote-unquote chalk play on a 12-game slate. It's one of the cool things about having a large slate. Like someone like 25 to 30% owned, that's pretty high owned. Whereas on a large slate, you get guys easily over 50% owned. That will not be the case on Wednesday. If you get someone like 25% owned, that's pretty high owned on a 12-game slate. Porzingis is questionable. He has the flu or some illness. So if he's out, Melo and Jennings and those guys are good plays again. They didn't play a ton of minutes because it was a blowout, so they should be okay on a back-to-back. Avery Bradley, that Achilles, still dealing with that. He's questionable. DeMar DeRozan's going to be out. So again, Lowry and Powell, great plays. I think my boy Valanciunas came through as well on Tuesday. Bogut's out with a hamstring. Maybe Carlisle will play Paul. You know he's going to play Yogi Bear. Speaking of Yogi Bear, Darren Williams questionable with a big toe sprain. Yogi Bear's price has come up fast, so he's not a must. But you might want to play him. Joel Embiid is doubtful with a knee. Nerlens Noel's price skyrocketed up on FanDuel finally, so he's no longer a must play. And all the Philly guys, quite honestly, they're in a bad matchup. It's not ideal for them on Wednesday. Will Barton still dealing with left ankle, so he's questionable. Moutier is questionable, so Gary Harris, Jameer Nelson, even Gallo can go back to the well. Wilson Chandler, all the Denver guys back are going to be in play again. And Cody Zeller, man, he's been out for a while with his quad contusion, so you want to play Russian roulette with the Charlotte bigs. Spencer Hawes, Frank Kaminsky, Marvin Williams, you can do that. All right, let's take a quick trip to Vegas. So, I mean, remember, 12 games, so we need – the first thing we got to do, narrow the playing pool, right? There's too many players. You can't be staring at a piece of paper with 4,000 players all day long figuring out who to play, especially late in the day. If late news breaks, which it's going to on a 12-game slate, there's going to be craziness. The last hour is going to be pretty crazy tomorrow. So you can't be looking at a player pool, you know, when you have to pivot and make changes of thousands of players. Just you got to find games or certain ways to narrow it. Whatever works best for you. Me, I will probably take some games off the board, starting with Milwaukee at Utah. I don't want anyone from this game. Now, in tournaments, everyone's in play, every player. So tournaments a different story. But in cash games, for Bucks, Utah, yeah, I'm not going to touch that game for cash games. Now, Giannis, do you guys want to do it? His price came down a little bit. Fine. But he hasn't been great. Now he gets Utah. So will I use Giannis in tournaments? Maybe, sure. But am I going to use him in cash on this slate? No. So that game, gone. So now it's an 11-game slate. Philadelphia against Dallas. For the most part, I don't want this game. Now, maybe Yogi Bear. We'll talk about his price in a minute. Not a great price for him now. It has come up. He's due also. He's a trapdoor. He's due to have a bad game. Let's be honest. It's still hashtag Yogi Bear. So this Philly-Dallas game, the Nerlens Noel price has skyrocketed. I could quite honestly fade this entire game as well. Boom. Now I'm down to 10 games. Atlanta-Miami, 203 over-under. Do I want anyone in that game, really? Not really. Not for cash games. Yeah, I mean, Deion Waiters is getting too expensive for me. James John, I mean, maybe, yeah, you know, guys like Dragic and James Johnson, I guess you could look at for single entry in tournaments, obviously. But cash games, I don't need to do it. Boom, now I'm down to 9 games. I mean, you can do things like that. I absolutely will do that for Milwaukee and Utah and probably for Philly-Dallas for the most part. Yeah. But I'm not entirely sure if Atlanta-Miami, I will cross that game off completely. But for the most part, I probably will. In terms of the best games to attack, you have the Knicks at Brooklyn. This game, well, the Knicks are only favored by 2 points. That's how bad the Knicks are playing lately. So we actually have a close game with Brooklyn. 223 over-under. Charlotte, Golden State. Honestly, for cash games, if you want to cross that game off as well because you think Golden State's going to blow Charlotte out, you can do that. Charlotte's on a back-to-back. That was another way to narrow the playing pool. I mean, all those guys are obviously great tournament plays because Charlotte's playing way up in pace. So if that game can stay close, a lot of guys could smash value. But if you want to, you know, cross that game off for cash games as well, I have no issues doing that either. Boom. Now you're down to like 8 games. And there you go. That's a reasonable player pool to look at. Minnesota Cleveland is an interesting game. 213 over under. Oh, I missed the Clippers at Phoenix. 220 over under. This is a very juicy game. We know who's going to get all the minutes for Phoenix. We know who's going to get the minutes now for the Clippers for the most part. This might be the first day that Blake can actually be in play for us. That's not a bad game. You got the Pelicans, Pistons, and then Indiana, Orlando. Decent games with around 211, 212 over-unders. So lots of games. It's going to be tough to figure out who to play. But fun. Teams playing up in pace. Knicks playing way up in pace against Brooklyn. Love the Knicks on this slate. And they've been bad, which is good because they're playing Brooklyn, who stinks. So we get a close game. It should be fantasy gold there. Charlotte, as I said, playing way up in pace against Golden State. But you can approach that two ways. On a large slate, maybe you want to approach that, like I just said, as a cash game plays only. Not as cash game. As tournament plays only. But they're elite tournament plays. Clippers playing way up in pace against Phoenix. So the Clippers are very intriguing on this slate for me. And then Memphis playing way up in pace against Denver. So some Grizzlies are interesting plays. And that's really it for me in terms of pace. All right, let's hop into the plays, man. There's a lot of them. Jesus Christ. All right. It's 4:18 in the morning. All right, so I'm going to try to run through the plays in 30 minutes. Will I be able to do it? I don't know. All right, point guard. I might go a little faster than usual because there's so much to get through. And also, or maybe I just won't mention every player. We'll see. So on this slate, in terms of stars, we got Westbrook, AD, LeBron. LeBron's price came up. It's now 11K. And Karl Anthony Towns. Durant's price has also come up 10.7K, which is disgusting. Isaiah Thomas is 10.6K. Giannis, I love the price, 9.9K. Don't love the matchup versus Utah. And also note that Paul George, his price skyrocketed up. Like I said, it was going to. Now he's 9.5K. He was 8.3. I think he was 7.9K about a week and a half ago, and now he's jumped up 1.6K. Like FanDuel has, I think they've taken some lessons from DraftKings. They're starting to be more aggressive in terms of pricing, which I think is a good thing. It makes it harder to have chalk plays, and sometimes it makes a guy who on paper has a good matchup, you have to think twice about playing him because he is expensive. So point guard, as always, Westbrook or no Westbrook. He's been good lately, just not great. He played really well against the Spurs on Tuesday. He had 51 FanDuel points. If I told you a regular guy put up 27 actual points, 6 rebounds, 14 assists with a steal, you'd be like, that guy is awesome, the greatest player in the world. Yeah, it's a great line. But when you're 12.6K, that's not going to cut it for DFS, especially on a large slate. Especially when other point guards are going to be also able to hit 50 FanDuel points. So Westbrook tournaments, yeah, people have been destroying the Bulls point guards all year long. I forgot who the Bulls played last game. I thought they got attacked last game pretty easily. Yeah, I think TJ McConnell was able to abuse them. So Westbrook could easily put up 60, 70, 80. But do I think you need to do it in cash on a 12-game slate? For the most part, on these large slates, guys like Westbrook and Harden, you haven't had to have them in your lineups. So, elite tournament play, as always, sure. But do you need to do it in cash? No, you don't need to do it because point guard is loaded. And there's really good value plays on this slate as well. Also, another contrarian theory, though, is to just use Westbrook because, like I said, there's value plays in almost every position on this slate. Isaiah Thomas, 10.6K. He's super pricey. He's been putting up, regularly almost 50 FanDuel points. The problem is, whereas in the past you'd be like, all right, Isaiah got 50. Like, that's fantastic. I'm going to take down this tournament. Now it's like, okay, now it's basically like you're breathing a sigh of relief. So I don't love this play on this slate. Toronto and Boston do have like a nice little rivalry going. So I think this is like a really fun game to stack for tournaments. But I don't want to pay 10.6K in cash for Isaiah Thomas on a 12-game slate. Like, he's been awesome lately. He's been great. And this is, again, this is where you have to remember, like, there's real life basketball and there's DFS basketball. And sometimes like a lot of people who just do like regular shows, they get in fights with me all the time when I make fun of someone on Twitter. And that's because everything that I do is all relative, right? It's all based on your price. So like I just read you Westbrook stats, which were tremendous, but that's a bad game for him in DFS terms. But we're in real life, he was great. And so the same for Isaiah Thomas. Do I think he's going to have a good game tomorrow or Wednesday? Yes, I do. But do I think it's a great DFS play for cash games at his price? Not necessarily. I just think there's better value out there. But for tournaments, yeah, you can absolutely use him. I mean, he's playing out of his mind right now. Eric Bledsoe, another guy, just because of the slate, not a fan of it for cash games. He used to be the leader at Magic Mountain. Do we have to bring him back to Magic Mountain? Because last game was 26 FanDuel points. Three of our last four games, ever since I pronounced him not being at Magic Mountain, he's been bad. Now, some of that's I think Phoenix got blown out. He got in foul trouble one game. So he's still a really good tournament play. He will be one of the guys really overlooked on this game. Overlooked on this slate. I do think the Clippers Phoenix is a sneaky game stack. As a lot of people are probably going to overlook that game. Phoenix also playing way down in pace. So not a great spot for him. Steph Curry, I think, is going to play. It's going to be tournaments only for me with almost all the Golden State guys. Curry's been better lately, so his price has come up a little bit too. So no, but obviously, if you want to play, stack the Charlotte Golden State game. You can always stack a Golden State game and hope it stays close in a tournament. Kyle Lowry, 8.7K, and this is what I mean. I would see he's $2,000 less than Isaiah Thomas and $4,000 less than what Russell Westbrook. And if DeMar DeRozan doesn't play, his usage rate goes through the roof. It was an overtime game for him. He played 45 minutes on Wednesday, so does that worry me a little bit? Yeah. But with that said, without DeMar DeRozan, I think he's safer off. And as good as Isaiah Thomas has been offensively, he's been a disaster defensively. So give me the savings. Give me Kyle Lowry. I'm fine with him using him in any format. Kyrie Irving, same thing. I mean, you can save $2,000 from Isaiah, $4,000 from Westbrook, and now you're getting Kyrie Irving without Kevin Love, who sees a monster usage bump and has something like a 36% usage rate without Kevin Love, which would be the second highest out of any point guard behind Westbrook on this slate. Yeah, he had a bad game against Dallas. Yogi Bear outscored him. But do I think he has about a floor of around 40 FanDuel points on this slate? Yeah, I do. And so the pace of this game should be nice. Cleveland playing a little bit up in pace. Cleveland also has been a mess. So they need to get a win. I think he's safe for all formats. I think he's in for a big night. Kemba Walker against Golden State. I do think it's a good spot. Charlotte playing way up in pace against Portland on Wednesday or Tuesday. He was okay. 35 FanDuel points. If that game stays close, he could smash. He could give you 50, 60. So I like it for single entry and for GPPs, but for cash, give me Kyrie. Goran Dragic. Dragic, 8K. That's expensive. Tyler Johnson's back, so I do think Dragic does take a little bit of a hit there. He's been super consistent and very good lately, and you can attack Atlanta guards, and Dennis Schroeder defense is disgusting. I would say Dragic is probably safe for cash. Just based on the slate, I still prefer guys like Lowry and Kyrie Irving, but do I think Dragic is a good play in single entry and tournaments? And for some reason, you only have around 8K left, and you can't quite get to Kyrie for cash games or Kyle Lowry. He's okay. Dennis Schroeder defense. I love to attack Atlanta guards. I've made a living on that this year. Mike Conley. So if you ask me, this is tough. So Conley and Dragic, they're both like borderline cash game plays for me. If this was like a 5-6 game slate, I think they would be totally fine for cash. Conley coming off a monster game with 60 FanDuel points against Phoenix, and now he gets an equally good matchup against Denver. Who can you attack for Denver? Denver guards. I don't care if it's Moutier or Jameer Nelson. Man, he has another elite matchup here. So the more I think about it, man, I think he's fine for any foreman on this slate. I really do. I do think because of recency bias, he's going to be somewhat high owned. But because there's so many good point guards, again, if you can't quite get to Lowry, and Lowry is on a back to back, if I think it's okay to do on this slate. I mean, man, Denver is going to be, the pace of that game is going to be so great. He's in a really good spot. Jeff Teague, see 7.8K. So if you're going to tell me to choose guys around that, I mean, also you have Drew Holiday. So Drew Holiday and Jeff Teague are both 7.8K. Now they're both in games with a really slow, disgusting pace. Also, the Pelicans are on back to back. So I would much rather, in cash games, I'd prefer a guy like Conley. I probably would prefer even Dragic. But I think Teague and Holiday for tournaments are both fine plays. Teague's a fine play for a tournament because he's been better lately. Also, Elfrid Payton defense is pretty horrendous. And Drew Holiday, especially if Tyreek is out, he's also been playing well lately. And they both have really some decent upside. I'm a little nervous, especially of the New Orleans Detroit game and that game, the pace of that game. Indiana and Orlando has been playing a little bit faster lately. So maybe I prefer Teague a little bit to Drew Holiday, but like I watched that again, that entire Pelicans game on Tuesday, and Drew Holiday was excellent. I mean, he gave me 42 Fando points and 30 actual points. The only bad thing I can say is he only had 3 assists, which I was surprised at, but part of the reason for that was because Anthony Davis missed every freaking time he took a shot. So if he would have made, you know, a few more, Drew Holiday would have had 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 assists. Ricky Rubio, 6.9K. He against Orlando, and this is what I mean. Elfrid Payton defense is Elfrid Payton's a tin man. Sometimes he's just not engaged at either end of the floor. So if you want to go Rubio, I don't mind it. He did have 47 Fando points last game, but he hasn't been the most consistent player this year, and I probably prefer to get a guy like Conley if I could, but he's okay. I mean, for like a single entry tournament or a GPP, yeah. I mean, you can use Rubio. Kyrie Irving defense. I mean, we just saw hashtag Yogi Bear destroy Kyrie Irving. So Rubio's a better player than Yogi Bear, not a better shooter, but a better player. So he's okay. I do think he's a little expensive for this slate though. Elfrid Payton, kind of the same thing. I would never touch him in cash games. He's super expensive. He does have upside. So if you want to use him in tournaments, you can do it. You know, if I played 10 lineups, I'd probably use Elfrid in like 1 or 2 on this slate. Dennis Schroeder, he's going to be a forgotten man on this slate. He's 6.7K. He's a tough guy to figure out. A couple of games ago against Washington, he had 13 Fando points. I think that was a blowout, as Washington's blowing out everyone now. And then against the Knicks in that 4 overtime games, he had 44 Fando points. Granted, that was 4 overtimes. So against Miami in a slowdown game for Atlanta, I don't love it just based on the slate. You know, you want to throw it as a dart in the tournament, go ahead. Reggie Jackson, I still love his usage rate. It's 6 point, you know, it's 31.2%. It's the 4th highest on this slate in terms of point guards. The Pelicans defense, you can attack them at point guard. You've been able to all year, and he hasn't been great lately. The minutes haven't been great, but also he hasn't been killing your lineups. So he's okay. I think he's an interesting tournament play for me. You're going to get him really low owned. And could he give me 40, 45 Fando points? Yeah, he could. But tournaments only. Then you got like a George Hill. I'm not touching him on a slate like this. Now, could he go off for 50? I guess, but I mean, I will probably fade against Milwaukee and then that disgusting over under. It's like 198 over under that game. TJ McConnell, he's been good lately. I get it if you want to play him. Now he gets Dallas, a really slowed on game. Also, you have to remember. So now on most nights, if TJ McConnell gets you 25, 30 Fando points, that may be enough. On this slate, will that be enough? There's going to be lots of point guards hitting 6, 7, 8 times value, going berserk. I've said this before and I've been wrong. Do I think McConnell has the upside? Not really. And I will probably fade him. If you want to use him just based on – because he has been good. I can't deny it. You can. I will probably fade based on mostly his price is a little too expensive for me and the matchup. I mean, that Dallas game, it should be stuck in mud for the most part. Although if Darren Williams is out, I mean, Yogi Bear is young, right? I mean, he's a bear. So obviously the pace will hopefully be a little quicker with Yogi Bear in there. And Seth Curry also plays a lot of point guard. And Seth Curry also could push the pace. Tyler Johnson, 5.8K. This is an interesting play because he only got 19 minutes last game. So a little nervous about that. If he was going to get a full allotment of minutes, I would throw him in a tournament, though, because Atlanta guards stink, and he does have 40 FanDuel point upside. Austin Rivers. The Clippers are playing way up in pace, and, you know, dad loves his son. So Austin's going to get he's been getting close to 40 minutes a night. It's disgusting. So he's just not going to be a cash game play for me, but could he get 35, 40 FanDuel points? Yeah. I mean, against Phoenix, he really could. So he's an interesting single entry or a tournament play. I don't love it, but because Phoenix and that pace, I'll use a little bit of him. Marcus Smart, not a big fan these days. It's more of an issue of upside with him, so probably not in a 12-game slate. Brandon Jennings, yeah, he's 5.6K. Porzingis is probably going to – as long as Porzingis is out, now Brandon Jennings is going to get Brooklyn defense. He put up 34 FanDuel points against Washington. And against Brooklyn, he should be able to give you 30. I think he has like a floor. As long as he's starting and Porzingis is out, I think his floor is like 30 with a ceiling of like 40, something like that. So for cash games, he even though it's a 12-game slate, he still may be a lock and load for me. He's in an elite spot. Then you got, Rondo came up to 5.2K. We still don't know how many minutes he's going to get. So tournaments only for him. If he gets 24 minutes, he could do some things, but on a 12-game slate, not a fan of that. Jameer Nelson. So Denver plays Memphis, so way down in pace. If Mounier's out, he's going to start and he's going to play in the 30s and minutes. So I don't hate it, but give me Brandon Jennings every day of the week over Jameer Nelson on this slate. Then you got Yogi Bear, 4.9K against Philly. His first two games, as I've talked about on the show a lot, 38, 36 minutes, 36 to 26 FanDuel points. But am I going to do it in cash games on this slate? I will not. I'll pay a little bit more and I'll get Brandon Jennings. Now, do I think you can play him in single entry and in GPP? Sure. And quite honestly, if you want to use him in cash, go ahead. He has looked really good. I just, on a 12-game slate, to me, it just feels like a little bit like I'm forcing it, playing with a guy who was in the D League 2 days ago. I will certainly have exposure. But for cash games, I would just feel a little bit better with someone else. That's really all I'm going to mention in terms of point guard. Shooting guard. So Giannis, the price is down to 9.9K, but he gets Utah. So for me, it's going to be tournaments only. We have seen guys destroy Utah at the guard position. Not that Giannis is a guard. I don't mean basically positionless. But we've seen guys like Zach LaVine, Mounier put up a 50-60 spot. Utah has been playing a little bit faster lately, and you can attack them at certain spots. So he's a nice tournament play. Will I use him in cash? No, I will not. Dwayne Wade, 7.7K. The usage rate for him is still tremendous. It's at over 31%, but the price is expensive. That's too expensive for me to use in cash. And because of the usage rate in tournaments, maybe I'll use a tiny bit. But it's hard to love the play. The Bulls do need to start winning some games. And the Bulls are now – they're on a long road trip. We'll see if they're either going to bond or they're going to implode, whatever you want to say. All kinds of floating going on for them right now. So this will be an interesting game to watch. I don't know what to make of the Bulls. But D-Wade, I wouldn't use him in cash right now at that price on a 12-game slate. If it was a 5-game slate, it's a different story. But I think there's some good value at shooting guard that you can use that's much safer. Nicholas Batum, 7.3K. I don't mind it, but probably going to be a tournament play only for me because of the potential blowout and Charlotte's on a back-to-back. Deion Waiters, hell to the no. 7.1K for this bum. Yeah, and I'm calling him a bum. I know he's been tremendous. He's putting up 40. What are we talking? I don't forgot what we decided for, like, you know, 50 burger, a 40 what? What was 40? A 40 salmon? A 40 fish? A 40 sushi? I don't know. Can't figure out. Can't think of a good food to right now. But that's too expensive for me for one trick pony on a 12-game slate. If you now, you can attack Atlanta guard. So if you want to throw him in a tournament, go ahead. But even there, I think he's limited. I mean, the upside's limited. Look, the best game he can do, if he plays out of his freaking mind, he's going to get you around 40 FanDuel points. That's out of his mind. And do I think that's going to happen against Atlanta? I don't. Granted, I will admit, I am biased. I hate him because I hate all of Miami right now, because all of Miami is basically, it's a love fest for Dion Waiters. They're all trashing Wade. I mean, it's pretty amazing how quickly they've turned on Wade. Wade was forced out of Miami, guys. Riley didn't want him. They kicked him out of there. They gave him a lowball offer. They made it abundantly clear that they didn't want him on that team. And now all of Miami is against Wade, and they love Dion Waiters. Yeah, enjoy. Yeah, get back to me in a couple of weeks, and we'll see how that's going. Anyway, I'm not paying 7.1K for that bump. Devin Booker. Devin Booker's cheaper than Dion Waiters. Give me Devin Booker over Waiters. So Booker, 6.9K, one-trick pony. I'm not – you know, he's been really good lately. The problem is, like, he's a – sometimes I'll say one-trick pony, and guys will stumble and bumble and fumble into, like, rebounds, assists, blocks, steals. Devin Booker really doesn't. He – like, his actual – you can basically just look at his actual points. That's pretty much how many fantasy points he's going to get. So – he's been shooting the ball well and playing well. The problem is he ends up around 30 FanDuel points every night. That's like his ceiling right now. So that's too expensive for me on a 12-game slate. If you want to do it in a tournament, I guess you can if you want to stack that Clippers-Phoenix game. But for me, I don't see the upside. I don't see the reason to do it. Klay Thompson, tournaments only. Zach LaVine, the king of Magic Mountains. I mean, man, him and Rubio both cannot have a good game. It's just impossible. So keep that in mind when you're building rosters. Cleveland all year long, they've struggled to defend certain positions. LeBron has been horrendous defensively. That's one reason they're losing. They're not defending any position. Point guard, they struck Kyrie struggles. Shooting guard, even though Liggins is supposed to be a good defender and Shumpert's supposed to be a good defender, they've struggled at that spot. Small forward, they've struggled at, and plus – down, you're going to attack them at the down low as well. So, you know, LaVine's fine. There's just no way in hell I would ever do it in cash games. You want to do it in a tournament, go ahead. On a 12-game slate, you don't need to. Remember, on a 12-game slate, you don't need to force anything. Now, granted, are one of these bums going to go off? Sure, of course. They always do. But do you need to do it? No. Oladipo, 6K versus the Bulls. Oh, the other thing I didn't mention about Wade. So Wade's going to get Oladipo defense, I think. Granted, Oladipo also could guard Jimmy Butler, but OKC also has Roberson. Now, Roberson was so bad offensively on Wednesday, he actually got benched and taken out of the game. And then Billy Donovan had to put Oladipo on Kawhi Leonard because Roberson was just – they were basically playing 4-on-5. So I'll be interested. Like, keep your eyes on the news regarding anything regarding OKC switching up the starting lineup. Because I did notice that watching that OKC game on Tuesday. Oladipo is a really good defender, also. So Wade will struggle a bit to get off shots against Oladipo's athleticism. Plus, Oladipo doesn't get the ball on the offensive end, so he has all his energy on the defensive end to use because Westbrook doesn't pass to him. But with that said, Oladipo's fine for tournaments. I do think he's going to put up a 40 FanDuel point night soon because his minutes were only 32. Like, for some reason, he didn't get a lot of minutes in the first quarter the second quarter, on Wednesday night. Or Tuesday night. And I wasn't really sure why. Billy Donovan gave a lot of minutes to Anthony Morrow, even though Oladipo was playing pretty well. But he's been consistent. He's given you a 30 FanDuel points. He's been a lock for that last week or so. Seth Curry. The problem now is Seth Curry is no longer 4K. He's no longer a lock and load. He's now more expensive than Wesley Matthews, his own teammate, and he's basically the same price as Oladipo. He's also more expensive than KCP. So it's not a lock and load for cash games. Do I still think that you can use him in single entry in tournaments? Yes. Also, remember, Dallas is playing up against Philly. This should be a pretty disgusting game. I mean, Curry's been okay. Two out of the last three games, though, you know, he hasn't shot the ball that well. The minutes are really the key for me right now. He's getting, you know, mid-30s to high-30s in minutes. But I think now we've reached a point with his salary, you're getting limited upside. So I don't think you have to do it. Do I still think he's okay for cash games at that price? I guess so, but it's close, man. I mean, you can play Oladipo basically the exact same price. And you can play Wesley Matthews, 5.6K, exact same price. Wesley Matthews probably won't get as many shots as Seth Curry, but he's locked into a ton of minutes as well. It's, man. And KCP going up against the Pelicans. The Pelicans struggle to defend the guards. So, I mean, that's a tough play, man. I'm quite honestly, I'm not even sure how I would handle that right now. If off the top of my head, out of Oladipo, Seth Curry, Wes Matthews, I guess Curry would still be my favorite for cash games solely based on usage rate. He's going to take up probably the most shots out of those four guys. And then it would probably be KCP second, Oladipo third, and Wes Matthews fourth. But that's close. I mean, I can already tell you what I'm going to do. And this is why I love playing tournaments. I will have the exact same tournament lineup, and then just – four lineups, and then in each one, have one with Curry, one with Wes Matthews, one with KCP, and one with Oladipo, because it's just super hard to predict which one of those guys is going to go off. But remember, I love usage rate. I also love pace. None of those games are really good in pace. So right now, as long as Darren Williams is going to be out, and Yogi Bear doesn't really shoot the ball that much, I guess I would still take Seth Curry, although that's getting expensive, man. Evan Fournier, is he back now? Is he playing? He's 5.1K. So he came off the bench his first game back, only got 23 minutes. If we find out that Fournier is going to start, he becomes a sneaky ninja nice play now. If he's going to get his regular allotment of minutes, he's a better player than Seth Curry, and his usage rate will probably pretty close to what Seth Curry's is going to be. So you get some savings. Yeah, I mean, as long as he's going to get, you know, his full allotment of minutes, and that's a big if, he's fine for any format at that price. Remember, I want to take advantage of guys when they're cheap, when they're priced down. Gary Harris, 5K. I love the price. I don't love the matchup, against Memphis. But if Will Barton's going to be out again, I'm still fine with it. Not a huge fan in tournaments because I think the upside will be somewhat limited. But at 5K, without Will Barton, he's going to play close to 35 minutes. I think he'll be able to stumble, bumble, fumble into 20, 25 FanDuel points. After that, then you got some bums. You got the Tim Hardaway Juniors of the world. You got Courtney Lee. And if Porzingis is out, don't be afraid to go back to the well with Courtney Lee. I know he hurt us a lot on Tuesday. But he's been really good for about a week and a half straight, and I think he'll be okay on Wednesday against Brooklyn. Everyone destroys, destroys Brooklyn. This game should stay close. He should get in the 30s in minutes. So even though he's not cheap, 4.8K, I think he's okay on Wednesday. And then if DeMar is out, you guys know what to do for shooting guard. Lock and load, Norman Powell. FanDuel did not. They did not jack up his price. They should have because it stinks, but let's take advantage of it. Use him in cash games. He's 4.2K against Boston. That's too cheap. He's been tremendous without DeMar DeRozan. So if DeMar is out, which he should be, you get some great savings by playing Norm Powell. He should be fine. Then you also got guys like Shumpert a little bit if you want to play him. Justin Holiday is a sneaky ninja play. He's 3.8K. Remember, the Knicks do have Brooklyn. Maybe he gets some extended run there. Probably not for cash games, though. All right, small forward. I got to speed up. Dear God, it's almost 5 in the morning. The show's going to be forever. All right, let's go fast. LeBron, 11K. To me, he's expensive. He's pricey. Do you have to do it? No. But you just saw we can get some good savings playing Norm Powell. That saved us right there. I do love LeBron against Minnesota. There's a lot of stuff going on in the media right now regarding LeBron. I think Kyrie and LeBron, they may be locks and load for me in cash games. Kevin Durant, tournaments only. Paul George, he's been great. As I mentioned, though, top of the show, the price now is expensive, and he gets a stuck-in-mud game against Orlando. So tournaments only for me. I'm not going to pay 9.5K for Paul George in cash games. I think he's got limited upside at that price. Jimmy Butler, same thing. I think Jimmy Butler, he's 9.5K, and he's really good, but he has somewhat of a limited upside. And now he's going to get some Roberson defense or some Oladipo defense, whichever one's on the court. Not a great spot. Also, that's one of the lowest over-unders of the night. Now, do I think if you don't have the money to spend on LeBron, could you go Jimmy Butler or Paul George in cash? You could, but I would just prefer to get LeBron. I think he's the safer. A Carmelo, 8.5K. The back-to-back worries me a little bit, but because everyone destroys Brooklyn and it was a blowout, Melo only played 32 minutes. He should be okay. And right now, just looking at my own roster construction, I don't have the 9K plus to play a Butler, Paul George. So I'm either going to spend up on LeBron, find a way to, or maybe go down and play a Carmelo in one of my small forward spots. Andrew Wiggins, 7.5K. Can't do it for cash. Tournaments only. He's Magic Mountain. LeBron has been atrocious defensively. And this is a nice little fun game to do a little game stack. So I do like the play. I just don't like it for cash games. Gordon Hayward, I'm fading that game for the most part. Everyone for Utah basically has been a nightmare. They're all a little overpriced right now, which is a shame because Gordon Hayward is a talented player. The usage is not there right now. Gallinari, the problem with Gallinari is not only did he was a soul crusher and kill me on Wednesday or on Tuesday, now his price is up. It was up to 7.3K for now he's getting Memphis. So cash games, hell no. It's a sneaky tournament play. The minutes are certainly there. He's playing like 35 plus minutes. They're so banged up. But he's also going to, he's going to also have to defend Zebo if they play him at the four. Not the best matchup for him. Harrison Barnes, 6.7K. He's been really good. If this was a small slate, I feel more comfortable. Although he is a cash game guy. So if you don't have the 8.5K to use Melo, the 9Ks to use a Butler or Paul George, the 11K to use LeBron, Harrison Barnes is pretty safe. The usage rate is fine. I'm a big fan of using Harrison Barnes on back-to-backs for Dallas because then Dirk won't play as many minutes. Dirk will probably take some of his thunder away, but as long as Darren Williams is going to be out, I do like Harrison Barnes. I think he's safe for cash, but a little expensive. Jay Crowder, one of my favorite cash game plays, but at some point, you just get too expensive. He's 6.6K now, so the upside is limited. If you want to, is he still going to stumble around the 25-30 FanDuel point mark? Yeah, he probably will, but at that price, not a great tournament play, in my opinion. But if you still want to do it in cash, I think he's now reached the point where you're probably not going to get full value, but it's okay. Covington, on the other hand, I prefer Crowder in cash when I would take Covington in a tournament because Covington does have 50 FanDuel point upside if he's making a shot. Especially with Embiid out lately, he's been really good. Wilson Chandler, he's 1.5K cheaper than Gallinari. So, yeah, if I had to choose between Wilson Chandler or Gallinari on this slate, give me Wilson Chandler, even though I'm not a fan of either because it's up against Memphis. But like in a tournament, you want to take a shot on Wilson Chandler, you can do it. MKG, 5.5K, probably tournaments only for me. Was not good against Portland on Wednesday. Tournaments only. Marcus Morris, man, he's been really bad lately, so I can't touch him in cash. You want to use him in tournaments, okay. Aaron Gordon, sneaky tournament play. He's 5K. He does have 40, 45 FanDuel point upside. With Evan Fournier back, he takes a little bit of a hit. but he'll be under the radar. I think the price is fair. Hell no, don't touch him in cash games, but you can use him. You can use him a little bit in tournaments. Then after that, then you got the under 5K guys. You got the Bays. You got PJ Tuckers. You got Bum Donovich, TJ Warrens, Ronnie Hollis Jefferson. You got Damari Carroll. You got Shabazz Muhammad. You know, you got guys like that if you really need to dig. Jaylen Brown. Remember, Jaylen Brown is still starting for the Celtics. Last game he killed me, so I probably wouldn't touch him in cash. But if you need to save, you can do it in tournaments. Terrence Ross as well. Terrence Ross is 3.7K, coming off a really bad game. If Damar's out, he's still a really good tournament play. If he gets hot, he can give you 25, 35 FanDuel points. All right, power forward. Anthony Davis, 11.2K. You guys should know, you can't use him in cash, especially on a 12-game slate. But, the Tin Man, he was able to give me 51 FanDuel points, and he shot horribly on Tuesday. If he's making a shot, and I don't know who on Detroit's going to be guarding him. I mean, John Lure? Tobias Harris? So even though that's going to the pace of that game is going to be slow, he's a really good tournament play. And if he ends up being the highest scoring guy on the slate, would I be super shocked? Not really. So tournaments, yeah, you go ahead. Blake Griffin. Very interesting now here with Blake Griffin. What do we do? He's 8.9K, playing way up in pace against Phoenix. It's all about the minutes. So we got to do some digging around on the Wednesday. You got to figure out how many minutes is he going to get. He only has 29, 23 in the first couple games back. But he's been a fantasy point per minute monster. If he can get up to like 32, 35 minutes against Phoenix, that might be good enough for us. So we've got to figure out how many minutes. Now, I was hoping his price would be a little bit lower. FanDuel did not do us any favors here. It's probably still a little bit too expensive for cash games. But for tournaments, you might be able to do it. I'm just trying to see what his DraftKings price is. He's probably much better priced on DraftKings just because they have better pricing, in my opinion. Let's quickly see. So on DraftKings, Blake is 7.5K. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, FanDuel, cash games can't do it for the most part. Even tournaments, that's probably going to be risky. DraftKings, though, now we're talking 7.5K. If he gets 30 minutes against Phoenix, he should be able to hit value, and he has upside if he's going to get 30-plus minutes. So probably FanDuel for the most part, the more I think about it. He's still too expensive. But DraftKings, if you're playing on DraftKings, he's okay. Paul Millsap, 8.4K. You can attack. Miami's got bums playing in almost every position in terms of their front court. I don't know how the hell they've won 8 straight. With that said, Millsap has been a Magic Mountain guy lately, so I wouldn't touch him in cash games. He's an interesting tournament guy. So tournaments only. This game is going to be stuck in mud, though. The pace is not going to be great. And also, Millsap's usage rate stinks. It's been one of the most frustrating things about watching Atlanta Hawks games. He goes lots of possessions, standing in a corner, not touching the ball, and it's frustrating. The usage rate is – probably won't be able to find it. Of course I can't find it. Oh, that's going to drive me nuts, man. It's going to make that out of the show for take forever. Man, the Excel an Excel spreadsheet on a 12-game slate, it's like 8 pages long. Yes, you got about 25% usage rate. I mean, at that price, I wish he had like a 28, 29% usage rate. Jabari Parker against Utah, tournaments only. Draymond Green. I mean, Draymond Green's price has come way down. It's 7.3K. I don't know if it's because he had a baby lately. I don't know if it's because he's just an idiot and a moron on the court. So finally, karma's catching up with him. I'm not really sure. His usage rate obviously stinks. 7.3K, though, man, that's really cheap for him. And, man, I don't want to use these Golden State guys in cash games, but that's somewhat tempting. And that makes him a really, really good tournament play at that price. Kenneth Fareed, 6.9K against Memphis. Hell to the no. Ridiculous. Zach Randolph, 6.3 against Denver. That, on the other hand, is perfectly reasonable. I think he's fine for cash games. Limited upside, so I don't know if I'd want to do it in tournaments. If Jermichael Green is back on the court, But he's okay. It's pricey. See, Nerlens Noel, he's now 6.2K. So the price has jumped way up, and now he gets Dallas, a stuck-in-mud game. He's not getting a ton of minutes anyway because they actually, last game, they started Okafor. So he's basically – now he doesn't even get 30 minutes. He gets in like the mid-20s. Is that going to be enough to hit value? I don't know, but it's a little risky. If you want to do it for cash, I guess you can because I think he's going to stumble, bumble, fumble into around 20 to 30 FanDuel points. Now, is that enough upside to help you win a GPP? I don't know. So I don't love the play on this slate because now it's pretty expensive. James Johnson, 6.1K. That is also expensive. I like using James Johnson in fast tempo games. Miami is playing a little bit up in pace, but I think it feels a little bit forced to me in cash games in a 12 game slate. Maybe if I do a little stack of this game in a tournament, you know, use a little Dragic, a little James Johnson, maybe one stupid Deion Waiters lineup, maybe even a Whiteside. And then on the other side, use a Dennis Schroeder and use a Millsap or a Dwight Howard. You know, so I don't mind it. Just not a huge fan. Tobias Harris. I can't use any of these Detroit guys in cash games, especially on a 12-game slate because they've been so bad lately. Serge Ibaka, sneaky ninja play. He's 5.8K. That's cheap. He does have upside. He can get you 40. He's a Magic Mountain guy. Don't love it for cash. But Indiana has been dreadful at power forward all year long. Thaddeus Young is slow as molasses. So it's a sneaky ninja move. I like it. Ilyasova. This Philly-Dallas game, again, I'm going to avoid for the most part. Only 23 minutes last game. Also, with Okafor playing, you know, why they give Okafor minutes, I don't know. They shouldn't. They should just play Nerlens and Ersan all the minutes in the world. So his, you know, his upside's obviously limited. And if he's only going to give you 25 minutes, I can't love the play. Gorgui Dieng is as boring as it sounds right now because there's nothing exciting about playing Gorgui Dieng. I don't even know if he's awake on the court half time. You watch him play, he looks asleep. Some games his minutes have not been great either. Sometimes Minnesota goes small. They're giving Shabazz Muhammad some more minutes lately. So he's no longer a cash game play for me on a large slate. Dirk, 5.6K. Dirk's had a couple days to rest now. No Darren Williams. He's actually fine. I think the upside's limited for tournaments, but at that price for cash games, yeah, you can use him. I think a usage rate's going to be fine. He's going to find a way to get you 25 to 30 FanDuel points. Thaddeus Young, 5.5K. Another guy who's just there. He's going to stumble, bumble, fumble into around 20, 25 FanDuel points. I don't love it. You can do it if you want. Marvin Williams, somewhat similar. He finds a way to get 20 FanDuel points as long as Cody Zeller is going to be out. So if that game can stay close against Golden State, you know, maybe he'll be okay and get you 30. Then you got the under 5K guys. You got Booker and Lure, Jamichael Green, Channing French Fry. Patrick Patterson is intriguing again. Dwight Powell, who won't get any minutes because Dirk is back probably. Although Powell was really good last game. He had 32 FanDuel points. Rick Carlisle finally played him. Marquise Chris is interesting as a tournament play. That's about it. All right, center. All right, let's pick up speed. It's after 5 a.m. Dear God, the judge is not going to get any sleep tonight. Karl-Anthony Towns, 10.9K. Center's good on this slate, so I just don't think you need to play Towns. He got to 49 FanDuel points last game. It took him an overtime to do it. He's been consistent. He's been good. So he's fine. And also he's going up against Triscuit, hashtag Triscuit, so he's got an easy matchup at center. He should be able to smash. The problem is I don't have the money to use him in cash games, and there's great value everywhere at center. So he's probably going to be a tournament play only for me. Marc Gasol. Gasol is in an elite spot, and you can save over $2,000 than from Towns. He's playing way up in pace against Denver, and I think he's fine for any format. He's a little expensive for me, so I don't love the play, but I do like it. Whiteside was better last game if you just watched the game. The problem was his price never comes down, and he hasn't hit 30 FanDuel points in like a week, and he hasn't hit 40 FanDuel points in like a month. So it makes him tough to play. Obviously, tournaments only, and Dwight Howard has been good defensively. Andre Drummond, You can attack the hell out of these Pelicans bigs. Drummond's coming off of one of his best games of the year, 66 Fando points. And I like it again. I don't trust him for cash games, especially because the price now has come up. But for tournaments, yeah, I mean, you can save over $2,000 from Towns. And if I had to choose like Drummond and Gasol, the way I'd approach it was Gasol is my cash game play and Drummond would be my tournament guy. But could Drummond end up with more points than Towns? Sure. DeAndre Jordan, 8K. He's cheap, man. Not the same guy without Chris Paul. But he's a sneaky ninja play under the radar. Could he end up against Phoenix? Think about all the extra possessions there's going to be. Think about all the extra bricks there's going to be taken by Booker and Bledsoe and TJ Warren and Tucker and Fat Jared Dudley. So DeAndre Jordan's a sneaky ninja play. He's going to be super low owned. I'll play him in some tournaments on this slate. Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is always overlooked. Now you have Milwaukee, Utah. Everyone's going to probably be fading this game, rightfully so. He hasn't been great lately. I don't love the play. I don't think you need to do it. But the Bucks bigs do stink. So if you're looking for a contrarian play, you want someone like 5% or 5% owned, you can play Gobert. Al Horford. Another guy. He's just there. If I have exactly 7.K left, maybe I'll use Al Horford. Otherwise, I just don't see the need to play him. Brooke Lopez, the Knicks bigs are atrocious. They're a mess. So I don't mind Lopez for tournaments. This game should stay close. If we can finally get a really close Brooklyn game, maybe he plays 35 minutes for once. So not a huge fan of it, but I don't mind it for tournaments. Dwight, honestly, just a nice and safe play. I've been using him a little bit lately. He's a lock for 30 Fando points. It's a lock. And 38 minutes last game against the Knicks, 34 Fando points. I think that was the 4 overtime game, I think. Game before that against Washington, I used him only 29 minutes because it was a blowout, but he got 30 Fando points. So it's nothing sexy about his game these days. But he'll get you there. It's a nice, he's a pretty safe cash game play. But you don't need to do it because there's tons of value on this slate. Vucevic, 7K. I think Dwight Howard might be a little bit safer, quite honestly. But obviously, Vucevic, much more upside than Dwight Howard. So I play Dwight in cash. Give me Vuce in tournaments. Same with Turner. Turner's a guy I wouldn't use in cash games, but he's got massive upside potential. And Vucevic is one of the worst defenders in the world. So Indiana at Orlando, Miles Turner is a sneaky ninja center play. If I have 10 lineups, I'd probably have him in like 2 or 3. Steven Adams, 6K. He's fine. Nice safe cash game play. Against the Spurs, he was good. 35 Bando points. So remember, Cantor's out. He's got to play some extra minutes now. By the way, I don't think I mentioned Sabonis at power forward. If you want to play Sabonis and punt, you can do that, I guess, too. But Steven Adams, fine for cash games. Greg Monroe, not against Utah. I'm not going to touch him. Valanciunas, 5.8K. He gets Boston. He had 34 Fando points against the Pelicans on Wednesday. Now he gets Boston bigs. You know you can destroy Boston bigs. That's one reason why I played Drummond a couple days ago. Drummond had over 60 Fando points. The last time Valanciunas played Boston, he had 18 points, 23 rebound Fando points. So is Valanciunas a decent play on this slate? Yeah. It's somewhat still a little risky because of minutes. But at his price, I think he's going to, even if he only plays 26, 28 minutes, he's going to find a way to get you close to 30 Fando points. He's really good, man. He's a really good player. Tyson Chandler, 5.8K. I wouldn't touch him in cash games. You want to use him in a tournament? I guess you can, but not for me. The Triscuit. Here he is. We made it the whole show, and now we have to mention the Triscuit. I don't know what to say. I hate him more than life itself. I don't know what to expect from him. I do like to target guys who are coming off of really bad games because guys do have pride in the NBA. Normally they have nice bounce back spots. Whoever he's up against, his usage rate is non-existent. He took 0 shots last game. Do I want to play him? No. I think I'll play him in one. If I have like 20 lineups, maybe I use him in one just to get the bad taste of his last game out of my mouth. But obviously upside limited because he's not going to get any shots. Although Minnesota, not a great rebounding team. Towns not a good defender. But Triscuits are doormats, and they taste like crap, and they're horrible, and they're disgusting, and they cost us lots of money. Spencer Hawes, his price has come up. He's 4.9K. He gets Golden State. Only got 16 minutes against Portland. Tournament only. Then you got Okafor. You got Noah. You got Hernan Gomez. If Hernan Gomez starts again, man, it's going to be tough to pass him up at 4. His price didn't go up, so he's still 4.3K. It's going to be hard to pass that price tag up if he starts because he's really talented. He fills up the stat sheet cheap, and he just allows you to get the build, you know, get LeBrons and get studs in the rest of your lineup. So Hernan Gomez, yeah, is a really good play if he's starting for all formats. All right, that's it. That's the slate. We made it. That was a long show, guys. Frick, it was like an hour and a half. My apologies. But 12-game slate is going to happen. Frick, I want to do a shorter show, so the judge apologizes. Hopefully it's an enjoyable show, though. Hopefully you got some entertainment of it. More importantly, hopefully it's useful as well. You can make some money, achieve some glory. All right, I'm just going to sleep. I hope you made lots of money on Tuesday. I hope you achieve glory on this delicious, fascinating, overwhelming slate on Wednesday. For me and the bailiff, court is adjourned.